Today we're going to learn about business ethics, or the lack thereof. Cheating in business. Everybody knows the orthodox guy who cheats in business, right? He's not so orthodox. In fact, he's not orthodox at all. All right, middle of the fourth reading in Parshas Kedeshim, chapter 19. We're going to pick it up today at verse 35. Into two verses and delve into it. Loisasa Ovel Bamishpat. A person should not do that which is wrong and twisted when it comes to judgment. Now, what kind of judgment are we talking about over here? So, like Rashi tells us, that when you use weights and measures, you're actually passing judgment. Passing judgment on what something costs or what it should cost, and so on and so forth. So it's a form of judgment. So you should not perform any perversion, or do anything which is cheating in mishpat, whether that's b'mida, b'mishkal, u'b'mesura. We have a number of different terminologies which are used for measurements or judgments. We'll take a look in Rashi and see what's going on over here. Leisasa avol b'mishpat. You shall not do that which is wrong in judgment. So, what judgment are we talking about? Rashi says, Im ladin, if this is talking about the actual judicial system, and people who come before a judge, and the judge shouldn't behave in a perverted way, well, here's the problem. Hare kvar nemar. We have already talked about this in verse 15 of this same parsha. It says over there, Lesasa avol b'mishpat. So the Torah could not be repeating itself and saying the same thing all over again, Lesasa avol b'mishpat, and then meaning the same thing. That just makes no sense. So there must be another message, something else that's being conveyed to us. Mahu mishpat. What's the meaning of mishpat, judgment here? Hashanu kan, which is taught here. Who, Rashi says, this is as is continued to be elucidated or clarified in the verse. Hamida, the measure, v'hamishkal, v'hamesura, which we'll soon see is three different terminologies for three different forms of measurement. And that's how people do business. Melamed, this teaches us, Shahamedid Nikra Dayan, that the person who's weighing and measuring is called a judge. Because the people who are purchasing, making the purchase, rely on the judgment call of the person who's weighing and measuring. So, okay, you measure up the belt of cloth, weigh that food that I'm about to buy, or the materials that we're talking about, weigh it up, you tell me what it is, and then I'm going to trust you. So that's like a judge, really and truly. And Rashi says, therefore, she'im shikir b'mida, that if a person lies or cheats with regard to those weights and measures, harehu kimakalkel esadin, then he's like a corrupt judge who perverts justice. And his sin is very serious. So serious that he's called karu, he's called in the Torah aval, a person who is corrupt. Sonui, he's hated. Mishukatz, he's abominable. Cherem, he is off limits, cast aside. Vitoyeva, and he is, I suppose, disgusting. Vegeidim lechamisha dvarim hamurim bedayan. And the person who cheats in business, who's called five bad names in the Torah, actually causes five things, which it says about corruption of justice as well. And those five things are, Mitame Se'aretz, he causes the land of Israel to be defiled. Mechalel es Hashem, he desecrates God's name. Misalek es Hashchina, he removes the presence of God from the Jewish people. Umapil es Yisrael b'cherev, he becomes the cause of violence that visits our people. And finally, Umagla Eisam Me'artzam, this person's behavior serves as the catalyst for exile. So clearly, the person who cheats in business is not very orthodox, right? He's making a lot of trouble for our people. This is serious business. He defiles the land. He desecrates God's name. He actually harms the nation of Israel. Let's talk about the details now. What's a mida? So, lasasa avul b'mishpat, you sound a cheat in business. B'mida, Rashi says, zoi midas ha'aretz. This is the measure of land. So, we know that there are different forms, systems of measuring land, and people do real estate, you know, whether you, it's dunams or acres, whatever it is, however you measure up the land. And there are ways to measure land. Land surveying is an art. It's a whole career, if you will. George Washington was a land surveyor. Many famous people were land surveyors. So when people will hire a land surveyor, be they the seller or the buyer, essentially they're trusting the land surveyor. So the land surveyor becomes a judge of sorts. And certainly when somebody claims to be selling something and he finagles the weights, he changes the reality. He says, I'm selling you such and such, and here's the report of how big or small this land is, but it's not really so. So that person is using the midah, he's using the measures of land in order to cheat. What's mishkol? Rashi says, mishkol is kamashmai. Literally the way it sounds, the weight of something. Like, you know, people buy fruit or vegetables by the pound, whatever it may be. So the scale says it's a pound of chicken, pound of meat, pound of fish, whatever it might be, but it's not a pound. You're charging him for a pound, but you have a specially doctored scale. So you weigh what seems to be a pound, it's actually, you know, 9/10 of a pound. And so you shave off a little extra. The people feel they're getting a good deal. They got the cheapest pound in town, but actually they're overpaying every one of them. And that gets repeated all day long. Think about the business, quote unquote, that's being made as a result of this. And then there is b'mesura. So here it's interesting. Rashi says mesura is midas halach. That there's a difference, even in the different systems we have today, there's a difference between volume and between liquid. The different forms of measuring. And that's because the density is different in solids and liquids. Rambam disagrees, by the way. The Rambam in the laws of Geneva, he says b'mesura means a very small measure. It's like maybe the equivalent of like 10 millimeters, like a very, very small amount. But anyway, Rashi says b'mesura is midas halach, and we have that actually from a language in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, which is quoted in Pirkei Avot, it says, "Umayim b'mesura tishta." Water will be drunk with a very, very small measure. So maybe it is 10 millimeters, it's a tiny measure of water, but the point is it's lach. It's liquid measurement, not solid measurement. At any rate, that's what we're talking about here. So in a word, we're talking about cheating in business. And a person who cheats in business is in direct contravention of the Torah. What should happen instead? Instead, says verse 36, Ma'iznei tzedek, you have to have righteous scales. Avnei tzedek, you have to have righteous weights. Eifas tzedek, the hin tzedek, you have to have righteous measures, both for dry and liquid material. Yi yelechem must be for you. Ani Hashem alekechem. I am the Lord your God, Asher hitzesi escha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, who has taken you out of the land of Egypt. Very interesting. So, don't cheat in business. Make sure that your weights and measures are accurate. I am God. Really? That's funny. We didn't know who we're talking to anymore. It's really good. God identified himself and said to us, I am God. And even better, he didn't just tell us this time he's God. He said, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Because you have many gods. Well, of course you don't have many gods. We only believe in one God. If God introduced himself the first time, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And we've been in a dialogue ever since. And now God is giving us one mitzvah after the next mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in whose name? In the Pharaoh's name, Chas v'Shalom. He speaks in God's name. So why does God have to remind us and say, I am the God? I am God, firstly. Second of all, I'm God who took you out of Egypt. It seems totally incongruous over here. So let's take a look and see. Rashi says, what's Avnei Tzedek? Righteous stones. Stones can't be righteous. He says, that means Hema Mishkolis. That's weights. Shesheklin Kenegda. So the way weights and measures used to work, and maybe in the doctor's office it still works that way, is you have exact weights and measures, and they put the weights and measures on one side, and they put whatever else is on this side, and you see where it balances out. It's very simple technology. It's about 5,000 years old now. So those stones have to be accurate stones. And there's all kinds of halachas about what material you use for stones and don't use for these stone weights, because certain objects can change over time. They can get rusty, or they can be some kind of attrition, expand or subtract. Things can happen to them. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch talks about having leather pouches to protect these weights. And whether that makes a difference in what kind of material you use. So, for example, it says you don't make them of tin, but you could make them of certain kinds of metals or certain kinds of stone. So bottom line is, it has to be very exact. Eifa, Rashi says, that's midas hayavish. That's what we use for dry goods. Hin is zu midas halach. This is what's used for liquid measures. So all of this has got to be right. I am God. I'm God who took you out of Egypt. Rashi says, well, what does the Exodus have to do with this? We're talking about business ethics. How do we go back to the Exodus? Says Rashi, what God is telling us is, Amenas, Cain, it was for this, I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt to be honest in business. I took you out of Egypt to listen to my Torah. I didn't take you out of Egypt to cheat in business. So if you're cheating in business, then what was the point of taking you out of Egypt? What was the point of choosing you as my people? What was the point of giving you mitzvahs if you're just an Orthodox thief? What's the point? Very unusual expression here. We heard all about dishonesty already. We heard about stealing and about grabbing things that aren't yours. God never said, I took you out of Egypt, so you won't steal. So you won't forcefully take things away. But when it comes suddenly to business ethics, or the lack thereof, when it comes to utilizing the weights and measures in a way which is dishonest, God is telling us, I took you out of Egypt, indicating to us that if you don't do this, the whole Exodus should never have happened. It's like shocking. Davaracher, Rashi says, Rashi himself knows that this is a very, very weak explanation. He says, okay, so why did you have to emphasize the Exodus here with this mitzvah? So Rashi therefore adds another interpretation, another idea, which just comes from the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia. And he says, I, God, hivchanti b'mitzayim, I knew, I made the difference in Egypt bein tipa shel bachar l'tipa she'ini shel bachar. The difference between a firstborn and a non-firstborn. It doesn't show up in the DNA. It doesn't show up in a person. You don't come out with markings on your head if you're a firstborn or not a firstborn. And yet, the firstborns died. The non-firstborns didn't die. How'd God know that? God says, I knew, eh? I knew who was born first and not. I knew who was conceived first and not. So God says, the same God who knows who was conceived first and who was conceived not, I am the one who is trustworthily and the person who stores his weights in salt. So apparently a way of subtracting the weights or contracting the weights is putting them in salt. And it doctors your weights ever so slightly. A few hundred transactions with those kind of weights, maybe you make less than a penny each time. Maybe just a small modicum, but it's a tiny difference. And eventually that tiny difference, it pays off. Really, it doesn't pay, but you think it pays off. This is a great way to do business. Here, so I can be the cheapest in town, get all the customers, and actually rob everybody blind, and nobody will know the difference. So Rashi says, leave it to God. He knew who was a firstborn and who wasn't a firstborn. He'll know if you put your weights in salt or not. I, says God, I'm the one who is going to exact payment from the one who does something like that. Ulahaynes is Abrias, who try to fool the people, Shein Makirim Bahem, who actually have no idea. How would they know? The weight is the weight. It's virtually impossible to know. But if you do that, God says, then essentially you're denying the Egyptian Exodus. So this is hard to understand. It's really hard to understand why it is that this mitzvah ends up with this big kind of reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Chafetz Chaim maintained that in order to understand this, you have to think about the fact that somebody who lies and cheats using weights and measures, meaning has no business ethics, that person is denying Hashgacha Pratis. He denies that God's looking over his shoulder. So Hashgacha Pratis, the idea that God's involved in our life, that takes us back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And maybe what he means is, what the Sefer Chinuch says, why did God say, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt? You sort of said, I'm the God who created heaven and earth. And the Sefer Chinuch says, because the God who created heaven and earth, that's the God who was. A lot of people believe there was once upon a time a God. But Yetzias Mitzrayim means God is ever-present, omnipresent in our life. Maybe this is what the Chafetz Chaim means when he says that the person who cheats in weights and measures is denying the concept of Hashgacha Pratis. The Bali HaTosfos emphasizes what Rashi emphasizes. Amenas Kein Haitzei Sichem. This is the reason. It was for this that I took you out. But the truth is, it doesn't really explain it so much. And it gets worse. The Rambam, in Mishnah Torah, which we learned yesterday, the Rambam says that this business of cheating in your weights and measures, you're cheating in business, is so severe, is so serious a violation. You can join us now on page Reish Peches, Simon Yud Zayin, 17 in the Biurei Chumash. The Rambam says, quote, from the laws of Hilchos Geneva, the end of the seventh chapter, Kol HaKoifer B'mitzvahs Midas, anybody who denies God's commandment about weights and measures, K'Koifer B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, that person is like one who denies having been taken out of Egypt. He basically ends up back in denial. You're like you never left Egypt. Sheitchilas Hatzivui. This is the Rambam's logic, because that was the beginning of it all. It all began in Egypt. V'chala mekabel olav mitzvahs midis, but a person who accepts upon himself to do business with integrity, hadeze meida b'yetzias Mitzrayim, that person actually acknowledges that there was an exodus. Shehi grama l'chala tzivuyin, because the exodus from Egypt is the ultimate catalyst and cause for all the commandments. So the Rebbe asks three questions. Question number one, why is it that somebody who denies Yetzias weights and measures denies Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the connection between the two? Weights and measures are weights and measures. The Exodus is the Exodus. They're very important. What's the connection between the two? Deny one, you deny the other. Why?
Deny is a strange kind of word in this context.
It is a strange kind of word.
Business, but they're not thinking, well, I'm denying this law. I'm just violating this.
Good question. Mm-hmm. That's the Rebbe's next question. Very good, then. The Rebbe says, "Ma peshet haloshen ha-koifer." A koifer, I'm in denial. I mean, we could use a cute pun and say, I'm still in denial river and didn't leave Egypt, but that's not what it means. What does it mean that a person is denying? We should say, "Mi she'eini mikayem es ha-mitzvah." Mitzvahs are fulfilled or not. So you should say, not kol ha-koifer b'mitzvahs midas, but kol she'eino mikayem. Anybody who not denies, but rather anybody who doesn't fulfill. Anybody doesn't do the mitzvahs. It's not about denying mitzvahs. It's about doing mitzvahs. And question number three is, what is the emphasis of Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim? Hi tchilas hatzivui. That's the origin. That's the beginning of all the commandments. And so, hi groma l'chol hatzivui. It's the cause, it's the catalyst. So what? Okay, fine. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of the story. But why is cheating or denying the mitzvah of weights and measures ultimately something that denies the beginning? I mean, Avraham Avinu is the beginning. Sarah is the beginning. Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim the beginning? What's the emphasis on it being the catalyst?
I would like to ask my other question kind of added to that. When towards the end of Acharei Mot, which is the parsha preceding Kedoshim.
Correct, yeah.
And Hashem, you taught about that. He introduced the
mitzvahs
illicit,
of Arroyos, yes.
He says, Ani Anayel Hechem. But he didn't say, Asher Atzeiti Etchem Eretz Yitzrayim.
Excellent.
And certainly, Mitzrayim is a much more, like, you know, sexual transgressions was rampant in Mitzrayim from what you said.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know if cheating in business was rampant in Mitzrayim, but why, you know, certainly that was. Why wouldn't you introduce...
Excellent question. Excellent question. I'll just paraphrase your question. It's saying that last week in Parshas Achrimos, we talked about the notion of the sins of forbidden relationships. And just as I am the Lord your God, doesn't say anything about Egypt. And we know that Egypt was their Achilles heel, moral Achilles heel. We know that in Egypt this was a terrible situation when it came to anything matters of modesty. It was the most licentious of societies.
Which influenced the Jewish people.
Which would influence us, and that's why Hashem says in the Torah, Kimaisei Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sasu. Don't do the way you saw things done in Egypt. But we have no inkling of them being dishonest in business. Nowhere does it say that they were the most corrupt when it came to cheating in business. And yet here it emphasizes going out of Egypt, whereas when it comes to the sins of licentiousness, it doesn't. Why? That's a really good question.
Could it be that this is my expectation?
I mean, certainly it is God's expectation, but it doesn't explain the notion of denying going out of Egypt or in some way discrediting the Exodus itself. So this is the Rebbe's suggested answer, the Yesh Leimer. Hatshuva l'sha'elu se'ela, the answer to these questions and your question, is ne'utza, is rooted b'toichna ha'miyuchedes from mitzvah midas, in the unique nature of this particular mitzvah. Hamavdilaisa. There must be something about this mitzvah that sets it aside and apart, makes it unique from all the other prohibitions in the Torah. I mean, there are all kinds of prohibitions of dishonesty. There's a prohibition called geneva. It's a repetitious theft. There's a repetition called hinoa, a prohibition called hinoa, which means to exploit, take advantage of somebody's naivete. Say, I have an amazing product for you. And the person doesn't know that he's being hoodwinked into buying an inferior product, but you talk a fast game, you convince him he's buying a superior product. You're just taking advantage of his naivete and his lack of business acumen. It's called hainah. And there's two kinds of hainah. There's taking advantage of somebody in a societal set fashion, and then there's taking advantage of somebody in a business fashion. So what's the difference between theft and between misrepresentation, which are also prohibited, and the mitzvah of weights and measures, which here the Torah goes, wow, this is a big, terrible, awful kind of sin that leads you to denial of the Exodus itself. So this is what the Rebbe suggests. The thief. Person is stealing. Straight up, he's stealing. When he steals, who is he fooling? Who's he lying to? Lying to himself? He knows he's stealing. He knows he's a ganef. Who's he lying to? Who's he stealing from? The victim. The victim supposedly doesn't know. He surreptitiously snuck into his pocket and took out his money. He ripped him off. He says, you ripped me off. I didn't rip you off. Yeah, he did. You may discover somebody ripped you off, but at the time they ripped you off, he didn't know that. So the person who's stealing is fooling who? He's fooling the victim. He knows exactly what he's doing. The person who's taking advantage of somebody says, oh, do I have a product for you? You'll never believe this. You're so lucky. It just happened to fall into my hands. And only because I love you, I'm going to give it to you at half price. And he's winking to himself and laughing all the way to the bank. He just sold him a fake, a counterfeit, as a real. And it's beautiful. Who got fooled? The victim got fooled. Who buys watches? And my guy says, hey, I want to buy a watch. It's all fake watches. And the person's too foolish. And he didn't fool himself. He knows the truth. However, says the Rebbe, when a person uses a midah chaseira, when you use the weight that's been ever so slightly doctored, it's not so simple. You know what they call that in English? It's business. I'm doing business. What kind of business is that? It's a monkey business. No, it's not monkey business. It's business. We're doing business. But you're lying to me. I didn't give you a product. I didn't sell you something. All right, the weights and measures were slightly doctored and twisted. You don't even know the difference. What difference does it make? You bought yourself the food. Okay, so you thought you're paying for a pound of lox. Instead, you got almost a pound of lox. The person who is lying and cheating when it comes to weights and measures, ultimately, is not only fooling others. In the end, that person is fooling themselves. You actually can begin to believe your own baloney. You think you're doing business, but you're actually stealing. No, I'm not a ganef. I'm not a pickpocket. I don't steal money out of people's bank accounts. I do business. A little crooked, a little misrepresentation, but it's business. It's I made it as if I sold him this amount. I sold him another amount. And therefore, the Rebbe says, because there's a sug, there's a sort of ramos atzmos, because here you're actually lying and cheating to yourself. You're fooling yourself. Here, we're in a danger where the whole entire structure can come crashing down. And the Torah therefore says, when it comes to this kind of prohibition of weights and measures, not only you're not allowed to use these weights and measures, do you know that it's a sin to keep them in your house? You're not allowed to have them in your possession. This and chametz are the two things you're not even allowed to have in your possession. Can't even own it, have to destroy it. And the reason is because this is so pernicious a sin, because just holding on to these things is a form of self-delusion. You're lying to yourself. And that's what the Rambam says. HaKoyfer b'mitzvah smidis, a person who denies the mitzvah of midis. He's not speaking about somebody who doesn't do a mitzvah. He does lots of mitzvahs. The problem is he doesn't identify with the notion of just slightly twisting things. Just a little adjustment. He's denying, I didn't adjust anything. Yeah, you did. You kept the weights in the salt. All right, it's an assault, but it's not really, I didn't really do anything wrong. Do business. And because that person actually thinks they're doing business and they didn't do anything wrong, then this becomes the source of everything. Rambam says it's like you're denying Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Tchilas HaTzivui. In other words, just like going out of Mitzrayim is the foundation upon which everything is built, and we have so many mitzvahs that are Zecher LiYetzias Mitzrayim. When you start to delude yourself that I'm Orthodox, I'm Frum, I cheat a little, but that's business. I'm Frum. Of course I'm observant. Of course I keep Torah mitzvahs. I do business, but I keep Torah mitzvahs. So it's that kind of lying to oneself, that kind of self-delusion that can end up causing the entire structure of Yiddishkeit to collapse. And a person starts off just with a little bit of lying and cheating, and he ends up being Bernie Madoff. That's where it goes in the end. Bernie Madoff wasn't born a Bernie Madoff. He was born a little cheating, a little fooling, a little weights and measures. Just a little bit of a Ponzi scheme. And that kind of a little bit of a Ponzi scheme, one thing leads to the next, and before you know it, you're in over your head, and it's out of control. Just like Yetzias Mitzrayim was the beginning of it all, this cheating in weights and measures, this lack of ethics in business, is the beginning of the downfall. And that's why we emphasize the notion of denial of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because here is the fatal misstep. And once you make that fatal misstep, you start to fool yourself. Once you're doing business, then the rest is ready to go, so to speak, down the tubes. It's exactly, it's history after that. And that's what the Torah says. When it comes to weights and measures, we have to be exceedingly careful. So the Orthodox guy who ripped you off in business, he's not Orthodox.
Is there a connection between weights and measures?